good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Go ahead and let our musicians be seated if you'd like to. I love to be a Christian. And the greatest thing I ever did, I've done, you know, we do accomplishments in our life. And sometimes we feel like, you know what, that was a really big deal that I did that. Maybe you won a medal or something. You know, maybe you won a race or you built something. But you know, the greatest accomplishment I ever did is when I gave my heart to the Lord.
Amen.
It changed me. It was something that was real. And, you know, sometimes, and I'm sure you probably feel the way I do, you wish you could express better on the outside what you feel on the inside. You know, inside here, you've got all this that you want to share. But then when you try to talk to somebody sometimes, just like, that didn't come out the way I wanted that to. Yeah, anybody ever felt that way?
Yeah.
I'm not the only one. I want to speak to you a little thought the Lord laid on my heart. Humble yourself to a higher ability. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. This is, may sound like an odd way to go in the scriptures, but this is definitely the way I feel very confident. This is the way the Lord led me to go. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come to you this morning with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for meeting me here this morning, Lord. All this morning I felt real nervous, Lord, even in the background talking to brothers, because I felt like I was going the way you was, but I was nervous. But Lord, I feel you here. And I know we don't just go by feelings, but it is a part of it. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for the songs, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, you'll walk the aisle and touch every heart that's here today, Lord. May each one of them leave better, Lord, than they come. Lord, may they be closer to you. I ask you to help us to be honest with you, honest with ourselves this morning. Lord, and be able to just open up to you and have you just come down and just, Lord, just talk to us the way you just come down and talk to Adam, Lord. Lord, in the cool of the evening, Lord, I ask you to come and speak to us tonight, Lord, this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to go to another scripture. It's St. Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in a like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Go to one of the things that man is the most, that's so contrary to him, to his nature, is to humble himself. You know, starting at a young age, we tend to find ourselves comparing ourselves with somebody. You compare yourself a lot with your dad a lot of times. I can remember riding in my dad's pickup truck, and my dad had the biggest arms in the world. He had the biggest forearms in the world to me. And I remember we had an old 72 Chevy pickup, a little flatbed, and it was like three different colors. And my dad absolutely loved that truck, and so I loved that truck. And I remember we'd go work out in the hayfield, and I would try to, when Dad would be driving to drive the T-post, I would pick up the tools, and I'd try to carry them, and I wanted to be just like Dad, and I was always comparing myself to him. And I remember we'd be coming home, and I'd look over at his arm, and I'd see his muscles flexing out, and I'd put my arm outside the truck, outside the window, and I'd look in the mirror, and I could see my arm in the mirror, and I have noticed if I pushed it a certain way, it made my muscle bulge up bigger. How many knows what I'm talking about? Come on, brothers. That's right. We all did that. I was comparing myself to my dad, and my dad didn't even realize that. And there's a lot of times I would find myself at certain points, I was like, you know what, I'm actually getting a little bit better shape than dad. And I wasn't. You know, a lot of times when we find ourselves and we're comparing ourselves to somebody, usually they have no idea that they're being compared to. You're looking at yourself, and they may be at their weakest moment, and you're comparing yourself. That's why we should never compare ourselves with anybody but the Lord Jesus. Because, you know, you should never even compare yourself with your pastor, because your pastor can fall. But the word, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. You should always watch that word. I would never want to fall, but, you know, I'm the flesh also. So we should always make sure we keep our eyes on the word of God. Man can have a complex of insecurity. And a man that's insecure will always constantly try to justify himself. If he feels weak in his flesh, he'll constantly show out in front of people to make them see his strength. Or if he feels insecure about his finances, he'll constantly talk about how much money he has. If it's people that are insecure, they usually belittle the people around them because they feel insecure of themselves. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they felt very insecure around Jesus. They were constantly watching for a mistake. They were resting on what they felt was the fact that they were the lineage of Abraham or Moses, and they had the law. They said, you know what, we are the ones, we have the law, we're the lineage of Abraham. But they didn't even realize that the word of God was actually standing right in front of them. They didn't even recognize it. We're talking God actually come in flesh and was standing right in the front of them. Things that they had studied about their whole life was actually manifested right in front of them, right then. St. John chapter 5, verses 31 through 47 says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Think of that. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe on his writings, how shall you believe my? But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Think of it. The man that they're saying that we are of Moses, we believe on him. Jesus is telling him he is going to accuse you, because you have got the words that he had written, and you're not manifesting what that word says you should be manifesting. My, that's powerful, isn't it?
Right.
Because we have a message in this hour, and a lot of people hold the message. They say, we've got the message. But I wonder how many will be standing in that day and find out that the real message, the real bride manifestation is right in front of them, and they don't even know it.
Right.
They think that they're the bride. It's real easy to look out at the denomination systems or things out in the world and miss what
I want to know what's going to affect me. You say amen?
Right.
I want to know what's going to affect me. When I come to church, I want it to affect me. What is this? How does this affect me? The word's been given to us by a prophet. I want the fruits of that message.
Amen.
Amen? Jesus said, if I do the works, believe me. He only did what the Father showed him. And that's where we miss the boat many times in ourselves, is because we don't seek leadership many times. We don't pray enough. Not realizing it, we tend to think more of ourselves than we should, and we don't stop to seek counsel from the Lord. And I want you to just, let's take this service kind of slow this morning and just be honest with yourself. A statement that I've just made is sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And what I mean by thinking too highly of yourself than what you ought to, let's say I was going to tell Ben, I'm going to build this building and I want you to do it for me. And these are going to be the blueprint that I want you to do. This is what I want. I want the door here. I want the window here. This is the way I want this building to be built. Ben could actually at first be very diligent about looking at the blueprint and saying, I want to build the building the way Brother Daniel wants me to build this building. At first. But after a little while of building this building, looking back and forth, he can actually come to a point where he thinks, I've got this. And so he will stop referencing to the blueprint as much. And he'll start trying to go by his memory, of his own physical memory, and try to build the building. And guess what? He don't even realize it until way later on, he put the window way too far this way. Or maybe the door is on the wrong side of the building. Now, if he, by going by his memory of what he had seen, he can say the building's being right. But all of a sudden, Brother Daniel comes in from a far country, and he comes and says, Ben, I want to see the building. I want to see what you've done. I'm really excited. And he says, oh, you're going to be excited. Come and see. And he brings me to the building, and I look at the building. I say, Ben, the window's not supposed to be over here. He says, oh, yeah, it is. I remember seeing it. I said, Ben, this is not where I wanted the building. I don't mean to pick on Brother Ben. This is not where I wanted the window to be. And Ben, under desperation, because he's thinking, wait a minute, Brother Daniel's paying me a lot of money to do this. There's a lot of time, man hours tied in this. He can start getting desperate and look and frantically look at the blueprint and say, oh, my goodness, what have I done? See, at the time, he didn't plan on doing that. But that's a lot of times, I'm afraid, that can happen with us. When we have the blueprint of the message of the hour, it is absolutely perfect. We have a word that's absolutely perfect.
Right.
And at first, we can be very diligently about our life, and we can apply our life to the word, apply our life to the word. But after a while, we stop reading our Bible like we should and seeking God like we should, and we try to go by memory.
Right.
And when we're going by memory, we know the window should be kind of right over here, but maybe that scripture ain't quite the way, or the quote ain't quite the way we heard, the way Brother Rip said. And next thing you know, little by little, this thing can be shook all the way around to where the blueprint ain't looking like it's supposed to.
Amen. Right.
We don't want it to be close. We want this to be absolutely precise.
Amen.
We want it to be absolutely perfect. You know, in the old time in the laundry, you take your laundry and give it to them, and the Chinese, they would take a piece of paper and they'd rip that piece of paper, and you would keep a piece of paper and they would keep a piece of paper. And whenever you come back with your laundry, you would take your paper and you would put it right with it, and it would have to match up absolutely perfect. And if it matched up perfect, you got your laundry. That was yours. Nobody could take your laundry from you. And you know, I'm reminded of when Jesus was in the water with receiving water baptism, and a dove come down. And a dove come right over Jesus, and his voice actually comes down and said, this is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. If Jesus had the nature of a wolf, that would not have matched. But it had to be absolutely perfect. Jesus had the nature, the kindest, most timid animal there is on earth, is a lamb. And the most timid one in the air is a dove. And those two natures are the only two that can come together. And I'm telling you, friends, we got to have the right nature here that will match that nature right up there.
when we take this rapture, it will absolutely dovetail with this message. Brother Brennan, when he taught the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a lot of people say, well, I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost because I shouted, I danced, I've done all these things, and found out they didn't have it. But see, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is when your life will match the Word of God. When your life, you know, both people get upset sometimes when you tell them the Word. I talk to pastors weekly, and I tell you what, it gets really hard sometimes when you show them the Word, and they get upset. That's right. But you know what? If you've got the Spirit of Christ and the Word comes towards you, you will say amen to it.
Right.
Amen. I don't want to get too rabbit trail. Not realizing it, we tend to think more of ourselves than we should. And we don't think that we need to seek counsel from the Lord. Men can come to a point they assume they are ready to make big decisions, and later on they realize that they forgot to seek the counsel. And these Pharisees believed that they had the truth. And Jesus told them Moses would be the one that would accuse them. Jesus said, another beareth witness of me. So it wasn't Jesus going around verbally saying, this is me, this is me, this is me. But Jesus actually had the works manifesting of who he was. But God bore witness of him that he was the truth. Now in the days of the Passover, the death angel, he was going to strike every firstborn. And they were given a message from a prophet of their age. Strike blood on the door. Not just blood, but it had to be blood of a lamb without blemish. We must apply the Word without blemish. And that's why it's so important that we have a vindicated prophet's message.
Right.
This is what Brother Brenham said. He said, they had seen the great hand of God. They saw all of his miracles. And then they had come under the sign of the token. And while they were under the sign of the token, they taken communion in desperation. They knew at that time God was fixing to strike with judgment. And it was a shaking time. It was a time where every man was examining himself, because the word of the prophet had not failed one time. It had been proven to be true. Whatever he said, it happened just exactly the way he said it. The pillar of fire was still there. And then the prophet had announced that God would only pass over when he saw the token at the door. It was a desperation. I could imagine the children were, when they saw those big black wings drop down from the sky like a smoke setting over the city, screams coming from every house. The children might have went to their daddy and said, Daddy, are you sure that we're under the token? And he could go to the door, look upon the post, the lintel, and say, Son, that's according to his word. Remember, I'm your oldest child, Daddy. Are you positive? I'm positive. That's according to what the prophet told us. And he was the word of the Lord. He was the word of the Lord. Said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Take the lamb for the house. I've brought all you children in. You're my oldest, but my firstborn, that's the one that's going to die all out there. But there's the blood. That's what thus saith the Lord was. So rest, my son. Rest at ease, because God made the promise. See? Well, Daddy, why you got your shoes on? Why you got your staff in your hand? Why you have got a piece of bread in one hand and a lamb in the other hand? Why is them bitter herbs and things? What are you eating it? Why are you eating it? What's the sweat running off your face about? Son, death is fixing to strike. See, it was a time of desperation. We're talking of a serious time where this family was sitting inside the home and there was death all around them. All their neighbors, the ones they were closest to, ones that they've served communion with perhaps, family that they've, for years, your children grew up together.
And now you're hearing the screams from their house because death has struck their house. And you're seeing people that you know. It's not just strangers. It's people that you know. And you see a death taking place, friends. There's a spiritual death taking place. Where people that at one time valued the message, valued the time of church, valued the time of serving God, there's a spiritual death taking place.
Right.
And God gave a prophet with a message, and he said, this is what you've got to do. You've got to apply the blood to the door. And when you apply the blood to this door, friends, that's your only safety. And so if we've got the blood in our door right here, and you're inside, I've got to be inside this door to be saved. I can't be standing out here looking at the neighbors and looking what's going on. I have got to have myself behind the door. I've got to be partaking of the bitter herbs. I've got to be partaking of the Lamb, because I've got to abide by the token. It's a family affair. Everybody in the family's got a responsibility to hold the token. Everybody in this family, we've got a responsibility to hold the token. Ahab knew what he was doing wrong. He knew what he was doing wrong. That devil, what he'll do, you'll be behind that door. You'll be doing what you're supposed to do. And that devil will ring bell after bell after bell after bell to get you to step out from behind that token. He'll cause women to come by with the newest apparel. That's just not wrong, just a little wrong. Mm-hmm. Not tight, just a little tight. Not low on the blouse, just a little low. Not haircut a whole lot, just a little trim. Right. Not just a whole lot of makeup, just a little around the eyes. A little bit of stuff to kind of cover your face, just a little bit. Not high heels, just a little bit. And that devil, not just shorts, these are long shorts. That devil will ring that bell. He'll ring that bell. He'll ring that bell. And you'll be standing right back here. And you'll resist it. And you'll step back, and you hear that bell ring again. He'll ring again. What's he doing? He's getting you, enticing you to step out from behind the blood. You've got to remember, there's a lion walking around. He's walking as a lion, roaring. He's looking for us. He's seeking. You've got to remember, we have got an enemy. And I realize he's a little cow down something. One day we'll say, that's the guy we've been fighting with. I realize that. I don't care how strong he is. If he gets you to drink poison, you're going to die.
Right.
Friends, we've got a token, and it's our responsibility as a family to hold each other accountable. Right. And you start seeing one another fall, it's our responsibility to grab each other. I see this boy. I'm going to pick on my boy this morning. He's behind the token. And I'm the devil. This is the good stuff, but for the illustration, it's the bad stuff. Here's your $1 million. You want it? It's $1 million. You know you want $1 million. Here's a brand new pickup truck. I can give you a career to where you will never have financial problems ever. You've seen how your daddy struggled financially growing up with you. You'll never have to do that. Just one Sunday a month. You give up one Sunday for church. Just give up one. That's all I want you to do. You want this beautiful girl? She's beautiful, ain't she? Come get her. You want this big house? You see these shorts? You see this dress? being set up. Thank you, Betty.
That devil will try. He'll wave it in front of you.
Just a little bit.
I could have the worst poison in the world in this.
Just a little bit's all it takes.
They've got drugs out that are so strong, if you touch it, it'll kill you.
An officer not too long ago literally touched the drug with his hand and killed it. I'm telling you, that's the potency of sin. That's the potency of getting outside the token. The devil is going to tempt you on your ground.
He's been working on you since you were born. He was already working, trying to find your weaknesses. But Scripture says, we'll never be tempted more than we can bear. He'll always do the way he said.
Every time that devil will try to tempt you with those, I'm telling you, if you'll stay strong, resist the devil steadfast, he'll flee from you, and wait on the Lord. You want the good financial? I'd rather have the blessing of the Lord. What good will it do you to gain the whole world and then lose your soul? The devil, listen to me, young people, the devil will fight you. He'll tempt you. He'll tempt you. He'll tempt you. I remember when I was so financially stricken, struggling to pay our bills, and I had an opportunity to take a position in prayers that all I have to do is work on Sundays. All my financial problems will be erased. Just take your position. All you got to do is give up your Sundays. And I'm not doing it. I will not give up my Sundays. And I got persecuted for that. God is laying something right in your lap, people at work. God is laying something right in your lap that many of us would love to have, and you're going to just throw it away. It's just temporary.
That's all it takes, is temporary.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not planning on staying here. I'm planning on going into rapture. You know, at that time, it felt alone sometimes. Listen to me now. I felt so alone many times in this walk with this message. So many times you would love to be able to have brothers and sisters close by. But it works out where you're all by yourself. And it's a lonely walk sometimes. And sometimes you would love to have someone just to come pick you up and say, hey, let's go fishing. Let's just go sit around and have a barbecue. But you know the problem is? They don't want to be around you. Because we love this message so much. You get around a believer very long, he's going to start talking about Jesus. He's going to start talking about the Lord. He's going to create an atmosphere around him where people don't want to be around him. It's like that shuck pulling away from the wheat. That shuck just pulls right back, and that wheat comes right on forth. And it's hard sometimes. Sometimes you'll be tempted because I know you want friends. I know you, young people, I know you'll come to a point where you want relationships. I know you will. But I promise you, and don't go by my promise because I can fail you. But go by the Word of God. Wait on the Lord. And the Lord will bless you. You wait on the Lord, and the Lord will bless your relationship, and it'll be a fruitful relationship. I want a fruitful relationship with the Lord. Amen? Amen. We've got a token. And today, over 80% of marriages will end divorce. And I didn't get this statistic, but I put 90% of people won't be pure on their wedding vow. In other words, they won't be able to keep their mouths off of the one that they love until they're married. Brother Brim said the sex glands are in the lips. Parents are knee-deep in sin with their children rather than pulling them out of the fire today. When the pastor preaches hard against sin in most churches, everyone get their feelings hurt. People won't repent anymore. We live in an age where rather than just simply owning up to the mistake and repenting and making it right, people make excuses. It's my friend's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's my husband's fault. Rather than saying it's my fault, I did it. I made a mistake. When they say you messed up on this,
Rather than saying, oh, I did make the mistake, you'll spend the time justifying yourself of why this either was not your fault or this is why this mistake took place. Right. Rather than saying, I did it. I made a mistake. I'm going to confess something to you. And this may blow you out of your socks. I make mistakes.
How about you?
Absolutely. We make mistakes. But a lot of times when we make a mistake, rather than saying, yeah, I did it, and repent and make it right, we will joggle around that. Rather than taking ownership of it, we'll blame somebody else.
I am in this condition because of...
I made this mistake because of... Rather than saying, you know what, I did it. The Lord laid it on my heart to get out of bed and pray, and I didn't do it. The Lord laid it on my heart to listen to the sermon, and I wouldn't listen to it. I'm the one that put these things in front of it.
If you do something wrong at work and you try to pass the buck to someone else, you'll wear yourself out trying to justify why it was not your fault. Trials will happen and we'll make mistakes, but it's how we handle those mistakes that speaks of our character. You say amen.
Amen.
A lamb doesn't try to defend himself. A lamb will surrender its wool. The prophet said, when we have the Spirit of Christ, we will receive correction from the Word. And we can't live this message ourselves. That's why we need a higher ability. When David fought Goliath, and David killed the lamb, and David killed the bear, David did not go by his own ability. It was by the Spirit of the Lord that gave him the victory. When David went before Goliath, he didn't say, as I kill the lamb and the bear, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you the same way. No, he said the same Spirit of the Lord that delivered them into my hands is going to deliver you into my hands today.
Right.
I want you to stop and think about this. This is a man, Goliath, that's 8 feet tall. The world has got a picture of Goliath. They said they found Goliath, and his foot's probably right here, and his head's probably at the other end of the building. I don't think you have to exaggerate the word.
Okay.
Just say it what it is. You see, man.
Mm-hmm.
They try to make it bigger than it was. They make Samson look like this big old muscled up guy, big old chest. You ever notice most guys you talk to with big old chest talk like this? Real big old guy. They had this big old image of this big old muscled up guy. Brother Brennan said he was a little bitty short, had a little bitty stubby hair coming out, sounded a little mama's boy. Imagine how Samson got to think about that. It make you feel kind of bashful. You think you got it bad. He said Samson was just a little bitty old sissy boy. Because if he was that really big guy with a big old chest going out there, it would be no wonder that he could kill a lion and rip the gates off of the city and walk off. No wonder he's big. He's bigger than Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's bigger than all these guys. No wonder he could do that. No, this was a little bitty, scrawny guy. Little bitty shrimp. When he came up there, I imagine those Philistines come up there and said, they called us for this guy, this little bitty guy, this is the one we're going to kill, Samson, 4 foot, 150 pounds, this is the guy we're going to. And all of a sudden, oh, Samson's got the Spirit of the Lord come. And Samson looked around for a spear, and what did he find? A jawbone of an ass. Amen. He did not depend on his own ability. He did not. He humbled himself to another ability to defeat his enemies. Because if he tried to do it himself, in his own self, the first one would have whipped him. And friend, that's the way it is with us in your battles. We're talking about the token. And you got your battle, and you know the devil's tempting you. And you know the devil's trying to pull you out and pull you out and pull you out. When you try it by your own ability, you're going to fall. And you're going to find yourself time and time again sitting out here because you've been pulled out again. But if you humble yourself to a higher ability and say, Lord, I can't do this. I need you to take this desire away from me. Could you imagine me having my wife and her not really loving me? She does love me. But if she didn't love me and she was to cook for me, and she was to clean for me, and she was to do all these things work, but she didn't love me, it would be bondage to her.
She would walk sad. She'd be, everyone seen her, she'd be so sad, abused. But because she loves me, it's not a chore. It's a blessing for her to make the beans and the potatoes. It's a blessing for her to do the things that she does. It's her love for me. It's a relationship.
When Samson ripped off those gates, he did not depend on his own ability. Both of these men did great works.
David, when he first started out in his journey, he sought God with all of his heart. He would seek for leadership. He would say, God, I need your help on killing the bear. I need your help killing the lion. I need your help killing Goliath. And then it finally come to a point, just like the blueprint I told you earlier, David got to a point where he got comfortable. And when he got comfortable, rather than going out with his men to fight the battle, David stayed home. And David, imagine David sitting in the upstairs getting out of his, he's probably still in his PJs. He gets out of bed, he's up on the upper tower. Beautiful day out there, his men are out at war. David comes out, steps out on the balcony. He walks around. I imagine David was right up here. And his token was probably about right there. David was stretching, comfortable, did not start out to have a bad day. David, you never start out to go on the wrong path. David's stretching, he goes through, and he looks over, and he sees Bathsheba. And she's bathing. And David had a choice at that moment. I can turn around, because that is one of my most faithful soldiers' wife, Uriah. He was a faithful, good man. He could have said, that is my brother's wife, I will not do that. I'm going to turn, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell him he needs to put a tarp up or something. But instead, David kept looking. Listen to me, that's the way the devil will do it. He'll tempt you, he'll put a little flash, a little pop-up on the screen. He'll show one little thing, maybe one time. One little click. And that's all it took when David stepped out. And he said, you send for her. And he brought her to him, and David had an affair with her and actually got her pregnant. David called, he says, go get Uriah now. First thing he's going to do is try to cover his sin up. Rather than own it up to the mistake, he said, I'm going to cover it up. He calls up, he says, you go get him right now. Get him here. They get Uriah, and Uriah, he hated to leave the battle because Uriah was a faithful soldier. Uriah, he said, I can't leave right now. My men need me. My brothers need me. They're on the battle line. I can't leave now. You have to come. David wants you at once. He says, oh, David needs me. I'll rush. Because he has such a respect for David. He runs as quick as he can because David needs me. Uriah runs all the way back to David. He said, my Lord, how can I help you? He says, go to your wife. Go spend the evening with her. Because see, if he went and spent the evening with her, then it could look like that was his baby. He says, I can't do that. I've got men that are out there on the battlefield that are dying. I can't go lay in the comfort with my wife whenever they're out there on the battlefield. I can't do that. I'll stay with the men. I want to stay right on the battlefield. David, stirring in his heart, he knows what he did wrong. And he knows they're going to find out what I did. He says, give him the food, get him some wine, get him to drinking. Then he'll go. Uriah couldn't do it. Uriah says, I will not do that. My men need me. I'm going to stay at my post of duty. This was a good man. Uriah was a good man. David finally resorted. Mind you, this is the same David that killed the lion. This is the same David that killed the bear. This is the same David that killed Goliath. David said, all right, I want you to take Uriah and put him on the front line of the battlefield. Put him right there in the head of destruction. And put him in the very beginning of it, and Uriah lost his life. And David married his wife. The prophet seen that. Mm-hmm. Listen now. Your sins will find you out. You may think that you are the only one that knows about it, and you can try to hide it, you can try to hide it, you can try to hide it, you can try to hide it. He knows. And he's the one you got to worry about. The prophet comes to him and he says, David, I want to talk to you. He says, there was a man that was very rich. He had all these sheep. He was a very wealthy man. He could have any sheep he wanted. And there was one other little man, just a good little righteous man, had one little sheep. He said, and that rich man went over there and took that only little lamb that he had and slaughtered that lamb. He said, what do you think we ought to do about that? And David said, that man should die. He said, David, that man is you. Think of it. He didn't even realize it, that the word manifest was him. And he didn't even recognize it. Pharisees and Sadducees didn't even recognize the word manifest. And now David don't even recognize it when it's actually pointing toward him as judgment. And they said that this baby is going to die as a judgment. But through David comes Solomon. David, this is the same David that did all these great works. David stooped as low as to kill one of his best soldiers for his wife. How thick is the blood of Jesus? How big is your problem now? You think about Samson for just a moment. Samson was a man that had the great strength we were just talking about. He could rip the gates off. He could kill all the people with the thousands of soldiers with the jawbone of an ass. This same man fell. He was behind his token, so to speak. And he kept looking. He didn't mean to. Maybe the first time she was over there playing volleyball, whatever she was doing, he seen her hair blowing in the air. He seen Delilah. And maybe at first he resisted. He said, you know what? I'm not going to go that route. I shouldn't go that direction. But the more he kept seeing, he kept looking. And the next thing you know, he had to get in. Just one time. Just one time, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to go be with Delilah. Nobody will ever know. It's just a secret. It's just us. Nobody will know. And he sneaks on back, so to speak. Token's still there. Nobody noticed anything. Nobody at the church knows anything. It's just us. And then Samson lays in the middle of the night and he's filling a pool. He gave into it once and now it's pulling him again. One more time. One more time to go over there. Perhaps he resisted. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. I know I shouldn't have done that. I made that mistake a while ago. I'm not going to do it again. And it's pulling him, it's pulling him, and pulling him. Finally, he says, I've got to go. First time was hard to go. The second time, it was easier. The third time, it was easier. The fourth time, it was easier to resist the Lord, resist the token, and step out to sin. And he thought he was in control. This is something that I can control. I know how to handle this. I know how to control this. But little by little, he lost control. He said, I'll never tell him about my secret. I'll never tell him about the mystery of my hair. If they shave my hair, I don't have my strength anymore. I'm going to tell him it's bands. Delilah told him, says, what is your strength? It's the bands. Put the bands around me. I can't do nothing. And they put the rand around, and he breaks them like threads. She says, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He'll break him like threads. Until finally, he comes to the point where he had broken down so much, he gave up everything. Listen to me, that little bitty temptation you've been given into will come to a point where you can't control it anymore.
And where at one time it was just thread that the devil would pawn on you. One time you broke that thread like nothing and I got free. I'm okay. That was close, but I'm free. A few days goes by and you give into that temptation again. It gets a little harder. Ugh, I got it free. Evangelist comes through. Oh, good. Good, they set me free. And then you go right back again. And you're going to think to yourself, I'm going to go like there just like I've gone many times before. And this time, you find out that they've got you tight and you're like, I can't get free. And the next thing you know, you're brought to the humility where they take your eyes out. They took Samson's eyeballs out. And they had this pole on the ground with the post going around and had him pushing that thing. And while all of these men around this, perhaps it was the cousins of the one that he killed, the Philistines, having this great party because he's defeated. He's defeated. He's being humiliated. But they didn't realize that Samson kept pushing that. In his time of true trial, whatever he had just really come to reason and said, you know what? I did this. Delilah didn't do this. I did this. People that the church didn't do this. I did this. I got myself in this situation. I can imagine Samson, he was pushing that thing and said, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And he truly repented. I imagine he kept pushing that. He said, God, I just want to be the doorman of the church. I don't care if you ever give me the strength again. Lord, I just want to be able to be in church again. I want to be able to not just be in church, but be in church. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. You could be in church and not be in church. Right. Your mind could be 100 miles off. This is the worst thing you could ever have as a clock. I imagine he was pushing that. He said, Lord, I just want to be able to go to church and I want to receive everything you have for me. And all of a sudden his hair started to grow. And at first, he said, I just want to be able to go to church again. I just want to be able to sit in the building. And then after a while, he says, I'd like to take a couple of them out. He's pushing that wheel, and the hair's getting a little longer. He's going to church, so to speak. He's having his church right where he's at. How many of you can have church wherever you're at? Mm-hmm. He's pushing that thing. He said, one of them. I'm so glad I can sing one of them. Hair's getting a little longer. One of them. You're going to wish you weren't one of them. And finally he says, you know what? I don't want just a couple of them. I want them all. I want to take this thing down. And they said, I want to ask you to put me on the post, please. Please. Please put me on the post. He puts him on the post. Yeah, let him do it. Let's see what we can laugh at him. He says, Lord, Once more, give me that strength, Lord. One more time. Give me that strength one more time. And he destroyed more Philistines at that time than he ever did at any other time. And I want to tell you something. Won't you tell the Lord this morning, Lord, once more. I want that presence one more time. I want that pull in my heart one more time, Lord. At first, I just wanted to sit in church. Then I'm thinking, I'll take a couple of them. And then you're like, you know what? I'm going to be like Shamgar. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill every one of them. Shamgar, day after week, year after year, them Philistines would come by and they'd come tromping through his corn every single year. And he would work so hard to get that corn for his family, and here come the Philistines to take it away all over again. He would get victory. I've got victory. Praise God for the harvest. I've got victory. I've got victory. Praise the Lord. I had a revival. And all of a sudden, here comes the Philistines. Tromp, 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 tromp. Coming to take his corn again. And he starts all over again. But there's come a moment. Oh yeah. I can imagine that week, that year, I imagine Shamgar at first, he was plowing the fields. He says, you know what? I think I'm going to take one of them out. He's pushing up there and he sees his hands all bloody. He sees his family starving to death. He says, you know what? I think I'll take two out. He's pushing the plow.
And then he's starting to think about, you know what? I am a son of God.
Pushing the plow? I go for the atonement. I take a lamb up there every year, a perfect lamb without blemish, and put it on the altar, and I'm atoned every year. I do this under the blood of a little lamb. He said, I'm taking them all up. He's pushing those things, and here come the Philistines coming, and they didn't know. They thought this time they were going to come just like many times before, but he had something waiting on this time. He pulled up and looked for the first thing he could grab, 2x4, box fan blade, whatever he's got. He looks over and he finds ox goad. That'll work. And he starts going to sling them. He had enough. He comes to a point in his life where he said, I am sick and tired of that devil coming and taking my victory. I'm sick and tired of him taking my harvest. I'm sick and tired of him taking my corn. I'm sick and tired of him coming into my church service whenever I come to worship the Lord. I'm sick of it. I'm taking it back. I want the victory back in my house. I want the victory back in my church. I want the victory back at work. How many wants the victory back? Maybe he didn't necessarily feel the Holy Ghost bumps at the time, but you know what? He got fed up. I think that's what we need to do. We need to get fed up. I'm sick and tired of this old devil walking all over me. I'm taking what's mine. God gave it to him. Show you something, one more quick thing with you. Brother Tony, or Brother Tim sung that song, Fill My Way Every Day With Love. That brother, and he also, if you notice, he's on When I See the Blood, I'll Pass Over You. I sure appreciate that. How many knows there's power in music? You can sing that music, and you can, David would actually cast out devils off of Saul by playing the music. I can remember I was working at William Chevrolet. That's been probably, used to be 5 years ago. It's like 12 now. Time flies. I was working at William Chevrolet, and I was an old technician. Wasn't the most prideful job in the world, but you know what? That was my job, and I was proud of it. I had the cleanest floors in the floor count. I'd scrub them floors. Every vehicle I did, I'd wipe it down. I had people come for 2 hours away to come get old things from me. And I would praise the Lord. I would be in there. I'd be singing like a little bird. I'd be worshiping the Lord while we're doing these old changes. And this old man by the name of Larry walked up. He's a big old guy. He walked up to me. He says, Daniel, son, I know you love God. Everybody knows you love God. He said, boy, you cannot sing. And he said, would you please stop singing? I said, can you tell a bird to stop singing? He said, you don't sound like no bird to me. I couldn't help it. There was something on the inside of me that was just a bubbling. And I just praised the Lord. I'd sing. I'd have a good old time. And old devil, he'd try to put something in the way. I'd just start singing. And all of a sudden, you feel that thing just full away. And we went up to a place called Littlefield, and that's where we'd fill up. And I had my truck pulled up there, and I was tapping my foot. And that's one of my favorite songs, is Fill My Way Every Day With Love. I was tapping my foot. And leave the gas pump on the truck. Fill my way every day with love. I finished filling up, and I go inside the Littlefield place, and there's a guy standing in front of the counter, and I just can't contain. I cannot contain myself. I can't sing in there because they'll probably get frustrated, so I just hum. And this lady sitting behind the desk, she's sitting there. She said, would you please stop humming? She said, you're always happy. I don't understand it. Why are you always so happy? I said, sister, get the Holy Ghost and see how you can do it. You know, if you get the Holy Ghost, it makes you happy. Right. You say amen. It makes you happy. When you go, there's something bubbling on the inside of you. It makes you happy. It makes you, I would that some of us would bubble a little more. Make us a little more happy. And what I'm saying is you can create an atmosphere anywhere you go. You can create an atmosphere at home. You can create an atmosphere at work. My managers, they'll tell you, if they start getting stressing at the sales desk, they will call me to the sales desk. And I'll say, what do you need? They say, we just want you to stand around here, please. And after a while, don't you have me do that? And after a while, it's because every time you come, everything seems like it's calm down. That's not me. Yeah. You got some people, when you come around, it gets hectic. That wasn't you, little brother. Let's all stand.
Humble yourself to a greater ability.
We've got this token message, guys. We've got this token that we can, that God has given us, and you can't do it yourself. But if you humble yourself before the Lord, He will give you the ability to live this life. Because it's Him doing it. It's a life on the inside. Ask Brother Tim to get us a song together, if you don't mind. Don't just take one of them. Take all of them. Whatever that Philistine that is, I'm not talking about going out and killing them. I'm talking about Philistines. Don't let one devil take any victory from you. If you need more of the Holy Ghost, you get more of the Holy Ghost this morning. If you're battling sicknesses in your body, you say, you know what? I don't want one ailment, not one single one. I want to be whole. It's a divine promise from God. I can have it. You claim it this morning. If you need more joy, God can give you the joy this morning. If you need a revival, God can give you the revival this morning. Let's just worship Him this morning.
Jesus, be
say, God, I know you're real. This is my issue I've got. I want help. Because a lot of times we settle for things we don't have to settle for. We can move that mountain. You can speak the word of God and say, Lord, I stand as a son of God. I'm claiming this ground. I'm speaking to this mountain. Mountain, be moved this morning. That's what Tony prepares to come.
You know, that's what the Lord came here for when He died on Calvary, was that He could equip you to live a higher ability than what you could without it, right? None of you could save yourself. So He came and He did what it took to make it to where you could live a higher ability. And God's done the same thing in this day. If he had not sent a prophet in our direction to manifest what he did, then there'd only be a certain ability that we'd be able to live, and it would not be rapture. Right? But God sent him that we might live such a way that we could be raptured. Right? We couldn't do it without it. But you see, in other words, it wasn't in man to do so. It wasn't in any of us to come up with the understanding and say, well, here's what I've got to do, and I'll be raptured. God knew that he had to come and do something to make that possible. And so that's what he did. But you and I have to humble ourselves to that, to what he's done. In other words, we can't have our own thinking about it. We can't have our own approach, our own understanding. We all have our own ideas. Every one of us are set in our own ways. Every one of us approach it ourselves and say, well, I know how to handle this. I'll do it the way I want to do it or whatever. But the best thing to do is to be honest with yourself and with God and with your brothers and sisters and admit we couldn't do it without it. We cannot do it without this message, right? So we humble. First we have to repent, right? But we humble ourselves to the word that God has just put on display in this day. That means we cast aside everything that's contrary to the word of God, especially the word that's been manifested before us in this day. We cast it all to the side and humble ourselves and say, I'm going to put all these other ideas to the side, and that God has committed to us, that's what we're going to go with. Because you realize that God sent a prophet in this day to cause us to see things the way God sees it. Right? God sees this modern church world as a stripped off, bebopping the rock and roll woman. That's the way he sees it. And so he calls that prophet to see it that way. And that prophet has spoke to you and said, this is the way God sees this church world. Right? So now I don't care what I've been raised up, what church I was in, well, how big I think the organization was, I'm going to cast all that to the side and say that's a half-dressed or a naked woman in the eyes of God. I'm casting that to the side, and I'm going to say it's exactly the way God says it, right? So why would I want to be attracted to those things? When God looked at it and declared it as to be what it is, why would I want to be pulled in that direction, right? When God says a man is not supposed to be looking and lusting at a woman, why would I want to give in to that? Right? So that's what we have to do, is take these precious truths that God has given us in this day that's been hand-delivered to us. If you remember in Malachi, he talks about, in this speaking of Elijah coming, and he was talking about a day that would be burning as an oven. But God said, I will spare those who feared me, who talked often about me and thought on me, I will spare them as a man would spare his son who serves him. Right? He said, I will spare them. And he says, you'll go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And I've said this before. Calves in a stall are hand-fed. They're taken care of specially.
That's right.
They're not like the rest of the cattle. So at this coming of this Elijah, God said, I'm going to come down to those who fear me and who speak on me and think on me, and I'm going to spare them in this hour that burns like an oven. I'll spare them, and they're going to grow up with a special diet. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Take the special diet, humble yourself to these truths of what God has given you, cast everything else to the side, and do everything you can to live by that word that's been manifested before you. Because that prophet came so that you might be able to look through and see things the way God sees it. So when God said, here's just a couple of them. Brother Branham said, you know what? I can prove to you that you were in your great-grandfather. And it's in the scriptures, right? Why would God have him say that? Right? Nobody else is preaching that. Nobody else out here. None of these other big preachers around the world are saying. But God wanted you to know that you were in your grandfather. And what happened in your grandfather was imputed to you.
Yeah.
Now, we're talking about on a physical sense so much, even though it was talking about that with Abraham, right, and Levi. But spiritually speaking, right, that it's been imputed to you because you were in him. And so he wants you to see those things. So then what do? And we have to arm ourselves with that kind of understanding. Say, listen, there's something imputed upon my life that's given to me by my heavenly father or my heavenly grandfather or whatever you want, that concept, right? And so you got to arm yourselves and you go with that. And so when he said something like that, you have to believe that. So when the scripture says, let this mind be in you, it was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're like me, you say, how can that be? Let this mind be in you, was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. Paul said, for you to think about that, let that be in you. So how could we sit here and go, okay, I'm in the form of God. And it's not robbery for me to be equal with God. I've been commanded to let that thought process be in me. How can that be? My thinking says, I'm not in the image of him. I'm so associated with failure. How can that be? But God said in his word, you are. Now, what are you going to go out here today believing? You're going to go out today saying, I'm such a failure.
No.
You're going to go out here and by faith, you're going to say, God has made me, he has imputed to me, and I am in the image of God. And when I go to work tomorrow and I walk into my place of employment, like Brother Daniel said, I'm going to walk in and whatever's going on in that situation, I'm going to make a difference.
Yeah.
They're going to look at me and they're going to say, this man is a real Christian. See? You have to arm yourselves and you have to do just like Jesus did. He had to learn obedience by the things he suffered. He had to grow in favor with God and with man. As a man, he came to the place where he finally realized who he was. And then he humbled himself to that which he realized he was. And what did he do? He realized that which he was taking him to Calvary. And he humbled himself and became obedient to that. So what has God said about his bride today? That's what you're humbling yourselves to. We're going to humble ourselves to be that bride of Christ. And if that means the whole world runs over us with a bulldozer and God permits it, so be it. But I'm going to humble myself to what he has said. And by humbling yourself to that, it takes you to that higher ability.
That's right.
To be something you could never be before. Amen. That's the only way you'll ever get there. Is by humbling yourself to God. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Amen. I always enjoy it. Brother Daniel preaches. Not just because it gives me a day off. You know, I can rest on Saturday night and relax. But, you know, it's always good. It's always good what God has for us. Now, I got several brothers lined up to come, and I've given some of this to some of the brothers, but I'm going to announce it to everybody so everybody knows. So Brother Colby Martin will be with us next Saturday night and Sunday morning. That's the 24th and 25th. And then in March, on the 17th and 18th, Brother Ben Beard is going to be with us. And I don't expect you to remember this, but I want you to know so that you know these days are coming and you can inquire if you need to. In April, the 14th and 15th, Brother Jeremy Schreiner is going to be with us. And then in May, Brother Ben Norrod is going to be with us on the Memorial Day weekend. So, not sure exactly what we'll do that weekend. May just be two services, maybe three services, maybe four services. I don't know. But I want you to know so you can kind of mark your calendars. And these are dates that thus far, I think, agrees with everybody's schedules and so forth. But I wanted to just let you know because you don't want to be in the dark on that, but amen. You love the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of God with you. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord again here in just a moment. I'm going to close with prayer and just ask that you continue to pray for everyone that's sick. I don't know where Sister Glory is today. She may be feeling under the weather or something like that, but Sister Fancy, Brother Richard, let us just bow our hearts to him. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of the service, Lord, we want to thank you for that which you have sent our way today. We realize, Lord, that even before the foundation of the world, you had prepared what would be spoken for us this day, and you placed it on Brother Daniel's heart, and Lord, he has come and has spoken that which you have given him. And Lord, we want to say that we receive it. We want to surrender ourselves to what we've heard today, knowing that is truth. And Lord, not to shirk any responsibilities or duties whatsoever, but to search the scriptures daily to see that these things are so, that we might not forget, that we might not go and forget what's on that blueprint, as Brother Daniel was saying, that we would keep that blueprint before us. Lord, that we would read our Bibles and pray each day and keep this message alive in our heart, Lord, so that we will live it right, speak it right, act it right. We ask God for that blessing upon your people today. We pray, God, you continue to touch those that are in sick in body, that you'd make them well. We love you, Lord, and just commit this service and everything that's been said, done in thy hands. And ask that you go with us today in our fellowship. And as we travel, take us safely. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, try.